In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Tell you what, let's do this. I'm going to show some evidence of exactly what the guest was talking about. Here's what I want to do. This is what I call an announcement, I guess, but because I know there are people listening to this that were at the rally. I'm pretty much guaranteeing that. If you were at the Trump rally on Saturday, I would like you to call in to this show right now. We are going to reserve the lines if you were at the rally. That's all I want to hear from right now is if you were at the rally. The number to call in, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. The numbers are on the screen. Keep them there, guys. I'll say it one more time in case there's somebody listening that was at the rally. 1-877-789-2539. If you were at the rally, I'd like for you to call in and just tell us about your experience and your response to everything that we've seen in the last 48 or so hours since. Now, over the course of the last 48 hours, and it is right on about 48 hours, actually, since the assassination attempt on Trump, and I took maybe 5% of the evidence I have for this, liberals are coming over and saying they support Trump. Major athletes, Hollywood celebrities, musicians, all kinds of people are lining up to endorse Trump. Elon Musk came out and endorsed Trump, just like we predicted, but probably a little earlier than we expected. Other people have come out and endorsed Trump now. And so this is a major phenomenon that isn't really getting covered anywhere, but I'm telling you, it's major. Let's look at a couple examples. Here's a woman admitting she was wrong about Trump in clip 25.
9 years ago, this was me. I was 17 years old and I was protesting Donald Trump at a rally. I'm making this video so hopefully you can realize that it's okay to admit that you were wrong. A lot of us fell victim to the media's lies and a lot of us hated Donald Trump. You could see that I had a very articulate message and logic and reasoning behind my hatred for the man. No, Trump. Trump bad. I encourage all of you to watch the pinned video on this account, Tim Pool's interview with Donald Trump, where he talks about how he wants to bring peace to the world. I know I want peace. I'm sure that you want peace. I know back then I wanted peace, but I was hoodwinked, tricked, lied to, and deceived by the media. Don't be afraid to let go of your ego and admit that you were wrong. Our country depends on it. Last night, we all saw a strong man stand up after being pew-pewed in the face. Don't be a coward. We cannot grow as a country if everyone is scared to say what they're thinking. And make sure you're actually thinking. Here, I was not thinking. I was believing. You cannot think and believe at the same time.
Now, again, there is so much of this all over the internet. It's not just women. I mean, it's Black Americans, Latino Americans, former liberals, NFL athletes. I mean, it's everywhere. I just have 3 hours to do a broadcast, and I decided here's what I'm going to do, so I wasn't going to play a bunch of that. But let me explain something. I got a couple more examples. Let me explain something important here. And if you've been listening to this show or myself for a long time, you know I've been talking about this. I used to go out on the streets and try to inform brainwashed, confused liberals like that individual. And me not coming from a political background or not coming from the right or the left, but somebody who was just ignorant myself and probably brainwashed on some issues myself, I just assumed that I could go out and talk to people and get them on board and get them to open their mind and everything. But I realized that's not the case. And what I realized was it's going to take something for these people to have their own awakening. There's no amount of truth, there's no amount of facts, there's no amount of logic, there's no amount of results that I can sit here and present that's gonna break their conditioning and break their brainwashing. It's gonna take something. It's gonna take an organic event. It's gonna take something in their life that's gonna change everything. Well, Saturday's assassination attempt on Trump was a huge moment for that, folks. Huge.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're taking calls from individuals that were at the rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday, where Donald Trump and this country, quite frankly, were saved by a millisecond and a millimeter. So we got a couple callers on the line we're going to go to who are at the rally. If you were at the rally, I invite you to call in and tell us what you witnessed, what you experienced, what your thoughts on all of this are. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 if you were at the rally. Now, I do have some other news to cover, and I do have some other videos to get to. But I want to go to people that were at the rally now and get some firsthand knowledge and response from them. So let's start with Anthony, Pennsylvania, who was at the rally. Anthony, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was there Saturday, and the whole thing just seemed weird. Like, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I got you live on air.
Okay. So usually Donald Trump has, like, the senator or somebody that's in the local area come up there. And he asked if he could get the guy that was down there. I don't know. I don't remember his name at this time. And they told him no, not right now. So they stopped that guy from coming up on the stage. And I was over by the bleachers where the unfortunate people got shot at. And, like, everything just seemed off with all the law enforcement. And I believe it was the National Guard and the Brown there. They were right up alongside the fence facing that building where the sniper was, which was directly behind me. I went there with my my dad and my 10-year-old brother. And, it didn't even sound like the gunman was that far away when it happened. It was like two pops. We all started looking around thinking, who was this person that just shot off some fireworks? And then there was like an initial five more. And all the law enforcement there didn't even start running anywhere. And then finally the sniper on the roof pulled the trigger. You could only hear like a small pop compared to an AR-15 that kid had. And the people were down in the stands. No one was running over there to help them. We had to jump up and holler for the state police and the National Guard to get over there and help them. It just seemed like there was like a whole situation going on where everybody knew something was going to happen. And it wasn't like the other two rallies I went to. I went to the one at the Erie Insurance Arena and one at the Erie Airport. It was just completely different.
Let me respond to some of the things you said. And, you know, I will say this because I'm sure there's people curious. There are things I elected not to cover today for the sake of time and because I wanted to cover the things I felt most imperative or that we have the most information or we can do the best analysis on. There were some other things that were happening that were suspicious there, but I don't want to lean into simply because I just don't know and there could be some plausible reasons why some of these oddities happened. But you said a couple things, one of them that was in my mind that I wasn't going to talk about, but then you bring it up. And again, this is all dealing with a distrust of government and distrust of the official narrative. I mean, an AR-15, it's just like the whole thing is crazy to me. Usually is a lot louder than what the gunshots heard. It sounded like those were 22 caliber shots. And I could understand why the sniper Secret Service returning fire, maybe he had a suppressor or a quieter gun and he took him out in one shot. But are you saying that it sounded oddly quiet when he was firing his gun? And maybe that's why the initial response from people was kind of just confused?
When the guy was shooting that AR, it sounded more like those firecrackers, like those black cats, or whatever they called them back in the day, the little ones.
Black cats.
Like a 9mm, yeah. It sounded like a 9mm going off. And it sounded like it was right beside me. My ears were ringing from the shot.
Now, you're not suggesting there was another shooter, are you?
Well, I am suggesting it, and I did call the Butler State Police about it because there was a guy in a wheelchair that was pushed up past me, and he was there before President Trump showed up. And right before President Trump got on stage, this guy had his wheelchair folded up, pushing it back out himself.
So wait, let me try to get a better depiction. Help me in the audience get a better depiction. You're looking at Trump from the flat area, and you're to the left where the bleachers were, where people got shot.
Yes, well, it was to the right. It was to the right of.
Well, it was to the right of Trump, but if you're looking at Trump, you're to his left, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that makes sense. So you were right in front of the bleachers where the people got shot. You know, I didn't consider a second shooter just because when I looked at all the stuff, I mean, it all kind of checked out. I mean, here was the shot. I broke it down in the first hour if you were with us. But you're saying you're not so sure.
I'm not too sure. And there was also people saying that there was somebody pulled out of a tree that didn't get a shot off. But the shots that I heard, my dad's an ex he's a retired military himself from the Army. He said that did not sound like an AR-15, and it sounded more like a 9mm.
See, I'm not a ballistics expert, so that's why I don't lean into this stuff. That's why I didn't decide to come on here and say that it didn't sound like that. It sounded like maybe a 22 or something. But since you called in, I figured I'd comment on it. So that's interesting. That is interesting to me, for sure. Anything else you want to say? Because you kind of said the whole thing felt off to you.
It did right away. Like, the Secret Service agent was walking around on his phone behind that stand. There was a looked like a father and a small son looking under those bleachers where the people got shot before all of this even happened. They pushed us through the usually it takes a little bit longer to get through the metal detectors when you go to a rally. But we went through there quick, and the wheelchair is what kind of makes me think something else was going on, because they don't check the whole wheelchair.
Well, and just to understand too, from your perspective, I guess Trump is probably raised up about 4 or 5 feet off the ground. So if somebody did fire a shot from the ground, could it have hit anybody else? Because I mean, that's the thing. If somebody was firing a shot from where your perspective was, you said it sounded like it was right behind you, then wouldn't they have hit the bleachers behind Trump too?
No, they hit the people in the bleachers to his left if you're facing them forward. And that's where it sounded like it came from. It sounded like it came from the direction of the shooter that was on that roof, but way closer. Like, so, it was in the same direction the shots were said they came from. But it seemed like it was closer because your ears shouldn't ring at, what was that, 136 yards?
Yeah, they're saying it was about 130, 150.
Yeah, there's no way my ears should have been ringing like that. It sounded like somebody threw firecrackers right at the side of the bleachers.
Interesting. And well, maybe there was something else going on. Again, maybe somebody else had intelligence that he was going to do it, let it happen, and then tried to distract. I don't know. But this is why I'm calling people that have firsthand witness. I got into all my analysis. Now I'm hearing from people that were there. Anthony, appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Ellen. She was at the rally in Pennsylvania. Ellen, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Ellen. Yes, I was there with my boyfriend. So he lives in the area and had been able to ride over there and check out the preparations for it, like, during the week before. And you had asked before what day the rally was announced. It was on July 3rd was when the announcement came out.
Thank you. So about 11 days, or so I guess, let's say 12 days before. So 12 days, okay.
Right. So there wasn't much happening with setting up for like a week until, say, Wednesday of this past week, where he went over there and he saw, you know, the speakers being set up and the we weren't really sure where they were going to
be set up. I'm sorry, you said Wednesday? You said Wednesday it started getting set up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted to clarify.
They had an event there over the weekend before that, and so it was after that that they started getting things set up.
Okay, so made public 12 days before, the venue starts getting set up on Wednesday before. Okay.
Yeah. And so so he was able to go around and see all the stuff, you know, the pallets of water that they were loading in, the outhouses that they brought in, and all of that. And so, like, even the day before, it wasn't a secured site. He was still able to get in and look around. And not that he had any ill intent. He was just curious.
Now, was the venue completely set up at that time on Friday?
That I don't know. I think they were still in the process of it, but can't say for sure. So on Saturday, when we got there, you know, we had to stand in the cattle chute line to go through security for an hour. And that was fine. But one thing that struck me as odd was there were food vendors, trucks, allowed to set up and be inside the secure area. And I've been to other Trump rallies in the past, and they didn't have anything excess inside. It was totally sealed off. And even like the rally 4 years ago at the airport in Butler, they had construction vehicles parked like in a zigzag kind of design where any sniper from across the field wouldn't have been able to have a clear shot at Trump on the stage.
Yeah, that's what our guest said. They try to obstruct vision for anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there was there's like a pavilion behind the secure area that had a roof. No one was up there. The field where this was had kind of a downward slope. We didn't get close enough to see where it flattened out. So we started off, well, anyway, getting back to my point about the food vendors, they had their trucks inside the secure area, and people were standing in line buying food. I mean, you can't get through a rally without eating, I guess. But I thought that was odd, because anybody could have hit anything inside any of those. Not that they did, but they could have. So when we got there, we were able to push our way through the crowd off to the left side of the field, kind of close to where maybe the end of the bleachers were. But it was really crowded, and we just didn't want to be that close to people. So we stood there for a while, and we could see both of the screens that they had set up on either side, and we had a pretty good view of the stage. But then, so Trump was supposed to take the stage at 5 p.m., which was announced as the schedule. But as it got closer to 5, people kept flowing in, standing too close, some people being really ignorant with holding umbrellas up to shade their girlfriend. And, I mean, stupid. So we just decided it was too close for us, so we just went back up the hill, more to the open field where there were a lot less people milling around. So at that point, we lost our sight of the stage, but we could still kind of see the screens and we could hear the speakers really well. So at some point, it was before the shots were fired, the people who were standing outside the secure area, so like you had the cyclone fence that defined the left border of the viewing area, secure. Then there was like a field, sort of, and then another cyclone fence that blocked off the farm show grounds. And then there were people standing there, and I guess that was where behind where the AGR building was. So people just standing there milling about. And then at some point, they all started screaming and running back, away from where the stage would have been set up. And I couldn't figure out what the problem was with them. Like maybe somebody told them, oh, you can't stand here, it's secure. But then we heard the what sounded like fireworks going off. And, you know, we kind of looked at each other and didn't know. That was when Trump had his graphic up of apprehensions by the border. And so we had lost the camera view of Trump himself or what was happening on stage. They just kept the graphic up during the whole thing. So we got down on the ground because that's what our training has told us. You know, you hear shots, get down. So then law enforcement people came rushing through. Everybody get down, get down. So those who were still standing got down. And then after a couple minutes, they came back out and they're there. Okay, folks, get out. Show's over. So we didn't know at that point what had actually had occurred because we didn't see it on the screen. Nobody said anything. So all of us just got up and proceeded as quickly as we could to leave the ground.
It's pretty crazy, too. And what you're getting into is kind of what the last caller said was, and I mean, it's hard to say. This is why I opened up the phone lines to hear from people that were there. You know, normally when there's a shooting like this, people go into panic, and that just didn't happen. And part of me would just like to say, you know, that's just the resolve and composure of a Trump supporter, and that might play into the psychology of a Trump supporter, just resolve, composure, not freaking out. But also what you're saying too is it sounded like a firework. It didn't sound like a gunshot, and I know that he only got maximum 8 shots off before he was taken out by law enforcement. But it sounds like the more alarming thing to you was the people screaming about him on the roof more so than even the sounds of the gunfire.
Yeah. And so I was able to see the snipers standing on the roof, you know, the ones who, I guess, actually did do the shot. But I didn't see that actually happening.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to go to some other callers, Ellen. Thank you for recounting your witness story from that day and calling in. Let's quickly go now to John. He was at the rally. John in Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I was actually a lot of things that happened that were wrong. I actually did some work for the White House advance team, and we were on VIP. Normally in a VIP situation, you only have a few people. In this situation, they had an expedited line. It was a mile long. And, we went through the metal detectors and so on. But I thought it was really strange. And then normally, like for the advance team, they'll have people standing in reserved areas for Mike Kelly and, you know, McCormick and so on and so forth. And you have to show a red, like we had red wristbands. There, I think there was yellow wristbands out front. Thank God I didn't get one of those because that was where it was getting shot. But we were to the right of the stage. And unfortunately, my singer's brother was deceased. I saw him get, hit immediately. And the reason why that happened is he was sitting at the very top of the right-hand side.
So you're talking about, hold on, let me just clarify. You're talking about Corey Comperorter. That was the volunteer firefighter that was protecting his family and was shot and killed.
I believe so because it was a horror. Well, I know her and I know that family. I didn't see if he was the only one that was deceased, and that was the person that was deceased above us, correct?
As of today, there is only one person that has been deceased, 2 others injured.
Okay, then that's him. Yeah, he was up in the stands, right in the red area to the right. If you were looking at Trump, we were to the right of him in those seats there, and that's where the shots came from. They came from the right of the he's the right of Trump's. Would be the right of his shots, and he got hit first, and then Trump went down with the other. And I agree with the caller. It sounded like fireworks, and I should know better because I do that type of stuff. But it didn't sound was more like a 22 or something. You know what I mean? Because it just didn't sound like a, you know, like an AR or something like that. But there were about four or five, maybe six more shots that were, you know, that went down. So we kind of, I saw him go down, and I told my girlfriend, as a matter of fact, if you look on MSNBC, she was the one that was carried off, but thank God she just fainted. And I'll tell you, Rico actually helped me bring her down the stage, down the steps, and he had blood on him from here, and it hit her, because she had fainted, I thought maybe she'd been hit. So, but to make a long story short, it was a very traumatic event. It seemed to be, and another thing too, there was no security there at all. Like when we worked for the advanced team up in Erie and that, and the Covelli Center, you would always have someone for there looking and checking your wristbands. These people just, no one knew what to do. Everybody was sitting everywhere. You know, it was total chaos. There were snipers to the right, would be Trump's left on the building, and they were looking to the right, and they should have been looking to the left. One should have been to the right and left. They could have saw him. There's a video out where he's crawling on the roof, which wasn't too far. And I mean, they should have. They were screaming. Someone did. The guys up there with the.
Now, could you hear the people screaming from where you are?
I could not. But okay. But what I'm saying is, I saw the snipers, and they were looking like haphazardly to the you know. To, they weren't looking in the direction. One was standing, and they were both looking in the opposite direction, which is insane because you should be looking. It's almost like, you know, who knows why they were doing it. You know, I mean, you could. I'm not trying to say it was. You know, because I don't know. I want to be a conspiracy theorist, but you think the two guys on the roof, one's going to go to the right and one's going to be the left. If that's true, and they were looking at that point, then they should have seen them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to jump to any conclusions about the snipers. I'd like to see what more comes out about that. Hearing your eyewitness opinion is very important. There's a lot of theories going about. Was that the main thing that stuck out to you? I mean, how fast, like, what was it like? I mean, how quickly did this happen in real time? Did it go slow? Was it just immediate?
Slow. I mean, he got off eight shots is what he got off. Because he went pop, pop, sound like fireworks. And I'm like, Kerry, get down. We get down. We're under the bleachers. And then there was probably five to six more shots easily. Maybe seven or eight. I don't know. And I'm thinking, their snipers are right there, but I want to get down because I just saw what I saw. It was immediate. It was horrendously horrible what happened. And like I said, Rico, God bless him, one of the, I think he's some type of representative or something. He came and helped me get her down along with the Secret Service. And but everything was slow motion. None of the security, like when we were supposed to park VIP, nobody knew where to go. You know, people were just walking around. Without, you know, wristbands, they were up on, that place was packed full. I mean, you could have thrown something over the fence and nobody would have known. It was the worst unsecured place I've ever seen, ever. And I've been to all Butler, you know, you move on one of those, you know, they have helicopters flying over top of you and drones.
This is just crazy. And you know, it's funny. Because I've dealt with security when we do things and our security team, I mean, obviously, we're a lot less to deal with than a big rally, but I mean, man, the security that has worked for us is so on top of stuff. Like, it's amazing, and I'm just stunned. All right, new footage coming in. We're going to hear from other people that were there. We'll be right back.
I haven't had a gold sponsor in 10 or 11 years. Not that gold and silver isn't a great thing to get, but because the industry is so corrupt and horrible. Anything good is going to have bad people. Like America's been great and amazing, so evil people came here to take it over. It's the same paradox. Bad times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. It's a paradox of success creates decadence. So I had a good gold company. It's been my sponsor going back 28 years ago. They shut down because all the regulations and control, because they weren't making enough money, charging a fair rate. Had been a gold sponsor in 11 years. So then I'm looking around. I already want this guy on as a guest. He already has the biggest silver operation in the country, one of the biggest gold, 25 years in business, Kirk Elliott. He always comes on, barely does even plug his products. And so I go, hey, I need a sponsor. I want you on as a guest. He says, hey, I've been trying to contact you. You want to be a sponsor. who's been on with us for 8 months. He's giving you great advice, and silver's gone up, and gold's gone up massively since he came on. All his predictions have basically beyond come true. It's been worse than what he said. He's been very conservative. So it's like overly came true. Tomorrow's news today.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
This is a no-brainer. Everybody needs to get into silver and gold. The problem is there's so many sharks and so many scammers playing on the public's ignorance. You guys have the highest rating. I'm endorsing you. Your consultants, you pay 8% for your consultancy and then nothing back to sell. That's incredibly valuable. That's where they get you. Everybody should call the number. They should email you, say Alex Jones sent you because you're a great sponsor. We get the support of the InfoWar, and they should do it. Everyone needs silver and gold, whether it's 10 silver bars or 100 silver bars or one gold bar or 50 gold bars. People need to get into this because this is what the elites are doing. It's so simple. KEPM.com/gold. Kirk Elliott, PreciousMetals.com/gold. Go to that link. It gives the show support. Get the best deals. Call 720-605-3900. Tell them Alex Jones sent you. And to me, I only promote something that is an absolute no-brainer.
Lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/go.
One of the things I learned that shocked me was that the government was putting fluoride in our water. Not to mention all the other chemicals in food and water that cause health problems and thyroid issues. And I figured, what is the solution? Nascent iodine kept coming up in research. We decided here at InfoWars to bring you the purest form of nascent iodine. Survival Shield X3 can help support your thyroid and help with a healthy metabolism. Survival Shield X3, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're going to continue to take calls from eyewitnesses of the Trump assassination attempt at the rally in Pennsylvania. We got a couple more callers on the line I want to go to now. First, we go to Carrick. Carrick, an eyewitness in Pennsylvania. Carrick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. I spoke to you on Friday about my prediction about people being there, approximately 100,000 people. I think I was right. It's a pretty big rally, and it was really not really that secured, like the last caller said. You can hear me, correct?
Yes, you're live.
Okay. Approximately, I'd say 2 o'clock, we got there where the cars were lining up outside of the parking lot. I got handed a book. It was called The Great Controversy. It was about... Some of it was about the JFK assassination and the Catholic Church and stuff like that. I didn't go too far into it, but I read a little bit into it. It's about the JFK assassination and stuff like that. What a coincidence. I'm not the best storyteller, but bear with me. I'm still a little shaken up about it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Like, I was still like 40 to 60 feet in front of the speakers on the right, in front of the screen. I was pretty close. I'm going to start off by saying I asked the guy that was handing the books to us. I asked him if he was going to go to the Trump rally, and he kind of got like put off by that, which it was kind of like bizarre. And he was like, no, I'm not going to the Trump rally. Like kind of like he knew what was going to happen. You know what I mean? So I found that bizarre. Second thing, I was in the line before the metal detectors, and there was this goth looking chick wearing no Trump attire at all. And you could tell the difference between a conservative and a liberal. And she had gauges on, and she was on a phone with somebody. And she said that Trump is going to talk at 5 o'clock, but she was like, I think he's going to be late, probably around like six or something, and it's going to go down around six. And I had little goosebumps in my skin when I heard that. I just didn't want to seem crazy and tell somebody that, but I should have. And I think, dude, I think there's more than one. Just like the Las Vegas shooting, how they only said that there was only one gunman, but there's eight or nine. So this chick said that, and that put me off a little bit. And I got some food at that food truck. Approximately then at 5:08, was in front of the crowd, big humongous crowd. You can't even see. It's to the eye, farther than the eye can see. There were so many people there. I'm sorry. I'm just shaking up still.
Help me understand where you're at better. If you were facing Trump, you were to the right or the left of Trump if you're facing him?
Trump. I seen where the bullet hit the hydraulic line.
So you were to the right of Trump.
Yeah, pretty much. I was on the if Trump is facing the crowd, I'd be on the left. So where the mainstream news.
Okay,
was,
I'm saying if you're facing Trump, you were to the right by the hydraulic that got hit.
No, I was to the left. If Trump is facing.
So you were to the left where the shots came from.
No. Trump is facing the crowd, right? I'm to the left.
Where the shots came from.
Where the shot? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just not the best storyteller, man. I'm just still a little shaken up. Another thing is when the shots did ring out, I lost a little bit of my voice. I'm still trying to recover from losing my voice. I was screaming everyone to get down. Dude behind me was saying it was firecrackers. I was like, no, dude, it's freaking gunshots. Get the heck down, man. Like,
so other people around you thought it was just firecrackers?
Yeah, I was screaming top of my lungs, get down, get down, get down. Those were gunshots, not fireworks. And then I started questioning a couple people. A couple people had blood on them.
Where you were
at? And they're telling me, yeah, where I was at.
In the general population on the flat?
Like in the front. I went farther in the front when everyone... Secret Service was telling everybody to leave. There was one or two people that had blood on them. It was other people's blood.
So they were on the bleachers?
Yeah, they were on the bleachers. I was interviewing them, just getting a quick analysis and interview from them. And it is just, I'm not the best storyteller, but it is just, I'm just still shaking up, man. It's crazy.
Wow, well, that is crazy. Especially so I guess they came down the bleachers and left through the general area, the standing area. And what's interesting too is as we look at the timeline, obviously this guy was staking out the venue that day. He was waiting for Trump to go on to the stage, and as soon as he did, he climbed the ladder or got onto the roof somehow and then set up his shot while people were screaming at police that he was doing it, and got off at least probably 6 to 8 shots. One of them clipped Trump's ear. Another one killed a man. Others wounded others. And you saw some of that blood. Well, that's, boy, oh boy, a lot more questions here. I mean, I'm not – look, thank you for the call, Carrick. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial with this. I'm trying to look at this in as grounded of a way possible and try to get as many facts as possible. My guess is there is still a lot of stuff that's going to come out, not from the FBI or the Secret Service, from eyewitnesses, whistleblowers. I think those are going to be the most important resources dealing with this. Listening to what is said now and the damage done by the bullets, you would think, okay, 557, you know, a bigger round from a AR-15, not from a 22 caliber, but based off what people are saying, and they're saying that it sounded like that. So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, when you have a guy who basically gets his head blown off in the bleachers and you know, blood sprays everywhere, I mean, that's a big round. That's doing a lot of damage. So, again, I'm not the ballistics expert. I'm not claiming to be. I'm looking for answers like everybody else, trying to be grounded in all of this. But the biggest source, I think, is going to be coming from eyewitnesses. The biggest sources are going to be whistleblowers. I mean, nobody's going to trust the FBI and the Secret Service at this point anyway, even if they are being honest. So, yeah, you're talking about a lot of blood here. And multiple people have called in and said during interviews on the scene they thought it was firecrackers. Well, that doesn't sound like an AR-15 sounding like firecrackers to me. I mean, again, it's like you cut yourself to see if you bleed. That's how crazy this is. Can you even believe it? All right, let's take another call. Let's go to Tina. She was at the rally. Tina in Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say we did find something a little suspicious. We were standing off to the left of Trump on the outer perimeter of, like, where the stage was set up at.
Okay. So you're on the side. You are on the side where the shots came from.
No, we were on the opposite side.
Okay, so you're facing Trump. You're to the right of him.
Yes. Well, where the speaker fell, that got the cord got shot, and the speaker fell.
Yes.
That's where we were standing. We were like 10 feet away from that speaker when it fell.
Okay.
And right before that, I would say what was really suspicious, about a half an hour before that, there was a lady that come down, and tried to clear that area out right in there, that little area. She wanted us all out of there, but nobody would move. We stayed. And we're suspicious about that. Like, why did you want to clear that area out?
Well, pause right there, because this was another thing I wasn't going to comment on, because I just don't know. So this is another thing I wasn't going to comment on, but since you bring it up, I'll add a little more to this. There were other videos where you have a member of Secret Service or some security service there shuffling people out from behind the stage and kind of crouching down himself as if they're anticipating something. Now, I decided not to cover it because I don't know, and maybe the plausible answer is they're trying to get out of the camera shots, or they're trying to get out from behind the stage because they're in Trump shot, or they just don't want anybody there. I don't know. So that's why I chose not to cover it. You're saying there was another part of it in a similar area where they were doing that.
It wasn't somebody that was dressed in uniform or Trump attire. It was a lady in a flowered dress. She just came over and kept trying to get us to move, couldn't give us a reason why, so we all stood our ground. And like I said, it was about a half hour before Trump come up on stage. And then, ironically, my boyfriend and I were talking about it later, and we were speculating, was she trying to clear that area out because she knew shots were going to be coming that way? I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know,
so this happened. So try to give me, if you can, a timeline of events here. You're standing in this area by the speaker that the hydraulics carrying it up got shot out, and some lady is trying to shuffle people out. How I mean, between Trump taking the stage and the shot getting fired, what are we talking about? What timeline?
I was going to say about a 45-minute timeline.
So this was before Trump even took the stage?
Yes. She was trying to clear that corner out for some reason within a half hour before 6 o'clock even hit. And like I said, nobody would move. And she couldn't give us a reason why.
And you're confident this is not anybody associated with security?
I'm positive, because she wasn't dressed in security uniform. She just had a regular white dress on with flowers on it. And, you know, we're all wanting to know why we need to move, and then more people's coming in. And she just seemed so intimate on wanting that corner cleared out, but nobody would move.
Anything else you want to report?
Just that I think security was lacking. It was total chaos after the shots went off. Like, nobody knew what they were doing. Nobody could say anything. No one was directing anybody to go anywhere. It was just crazy. It was just total chaos. Not enough security. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't have that building covered, because the last Trump rally that was there, they said that was a high point. It needed secured. Why didn't they secure it this time? Why didn't they see this guy walking across
the
field?
When was the last Trump rally? At the same venue?
It was at the same venue when he ran for president back in 2000.
So that was before Kim Cheadle was head of the Secret Service.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it was all secured then, and they knew about that building, so why not this time?
Wow. Tina, I thank you for that. Appreciate you calling in. More interesting eyewitness testimony here. Let's go to Alex, was at the rally, calling in from Illinois, traveled to get there. Alex, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
I'm good. Thank you. Yep.
Okay. Hey, really touch up on what most of your callers have said and a lot of the interviews that we've all seen, you know, online or on Twitter or on X. Like, there's no doubt, because I was at that the previous rally 4 years ago that the caller was just talking about. My buddy actually lived like just a couple miles from the venue. Night and day different as far as security goes. And I think it's easy for us to all just assume or want to assume that it was a stand down. I don't know if it was as much of a stand down as if it was just a lack of manpower on a major basis. You know, I mean, because I had heard that supposedly there was something else, some other event that they had supposedly pulled Social Security or the Secret Security guys from to go to. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but I mean, I'm going to say there was probably a 50-75% reduction in the security. I mean, there were guys on that roof 4 years ago.
That's amazing that we're getting this story now. So they already had a security protocol for that venue, for the rooftop where the shooter was at, not this go around. That is something.
Yeah, and just a couple other things. So we never got since he lived right there by there. We had actually that whole week. I spent the whole week there, and up until Saturday morning, we would go up there every day throughout the week because we were just kind of curious, you know, about them setting stuff up and whatnot. Because last time we didn't get to do that, we just showed up right at the time of the rally. But like, we were able to go right in there with our side by sides all the way up until Saturday morning. And that's when they officially had the place locked down. So I was kind of surprised about that.
Wait, were you there Wednesday or Thursday?
I was up there Monday through Saturday. Like,
when was the stage or venue fully complete? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, I'm going to say Friday. You know, towards after lunch on Friday, and then
was the venue set up the same in 2020 as it was on Saturday?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now, considering this information, and I'm taking it all in here, considering this information, if the shooter would have had any, if the stage was complete Friday, it was then locked down by Saturday. I guess he could have observed it Friday and decided to take some sort of approach. And assuming that, how would he know that there wouldn't be security on that roof? Maybe he's just taking a guess or staking it out to find out. But then as it is, no security on that roof like there was in 2020. So if he was using the 2020 rally as a planning point, that wouldn't have been the case because he would have known security was being on that roof. So it sounds like he was probably staking it out and then doing the final stakeout the day of, saw no security, saw an access point, and took it.
Yeah. One other thing is, like I said, we weren't actually up at where we could see the rally. We were just kind of hanging back. But, like, the utility trucks that were there that were holding up the speakers and all that, like, those trucks weren't even locked. you know, they were like utility work trucks. You know, you're talking all kinds of, you know, tools that were just, you know, out and about in the back of the truck. I thought that was weird. The armbands, like, they didn't care if you had an armband or not. You know, they were basically come on in attitude, you know. And then I'm not kidding you, like, not that we would have ever done it, but just based off of what we noticed with security, we feel like we could have walked back to our truck, got a gun, and walked right back up to the rally, and nobody would have ever been there to even see us do that.
Well, I mean, look what the shooter got away with. And by the way, looking at that video, because all kinds of new videos are surfacing now, I suspect more will surface. And think, I mean, folks, this is so key that this is happening on X. I mean, seriously, whatever you think about Elon Musk, that's fine. But this is all surfacing on X. This would not be surfacing anywhere else. And they'd probably be banning all these videos if Elon Musk didn't own it. Absolutely, they would be. Now, watching that other video, and thank you for the call, Alex. There's that one video, you guys. I mean, it's just stunning. These both snipers are barrels right at the would-be shooter. But you can see right here, they're both pointing right at him. And there's the shot, and then he takes his shot. I mean, they waited for the guy to shoot. They literally waited for the guy to shoot him. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and make any assumptions about those snipers. But, I mean, that's damning for somebody, somehow. That's how it went down. All right, let's try to squeeze in as many left as we can here in the final minutes of the show. A lot of news I didn't get to. Let's go to Jay in Pennsylvania. Jay, you're on the air. You were at the rally. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Yeah, first thing I want to say is back in 2018, or when the Trump's tax cuts came to be, Mike Kelly and Mike Pence did a speech down at the Sports Museum and down at in Pittsburgh. It's the Heinz Sports Museum, and there was more security there than I have ever seen. I mean, and you couldn't even get in there with like a pen, you know.
So more security for this event. All right, let's talk about this event though.
No, that's what I'm saying. There was less security there than I've.
So the lack of security is your big. Notice of this event.
Yeah, I grew up in this area, and I've been to the Butler Farm Show for plenty of years, and I do not think, like, how can you leave that roof open, first off? Second off, I don't understand why the last caller said that he would have had snipers on the roof of that roof last time. It's like 7 miles from the airport to where Trump did last time, which is where he was.
Well, the two callers before you said that he had a rally at that farm in 2020.
No, it was at the Butler Airport. It was right at the airport. So that's complete incorrect.
Well, maybe we can get a clarification. The crew can look into that. Okay.
Yeah, I was taking my kids trick-or-treating, and I seen helicopters with Trump flying over the town I live in. Like, so, yeah, they were definitely incorrect. It was not at the farm show. It was at the Butler Airport. So, the other thing is, I think also there was multiple shooters because the way the shots rang off, there's no way. There's no way that came from one direction or two directions. Like, the way they crackled off, it didn't seem like it. I didn't see the actual shooting. I did see the guys on the roof, but behind Trump. And it just didn't seem. It seems like that was a setup. That kid was a pawn. He was a decoy. That's just how I feel about it.
Well, like I said, I think as the day goes on, tonight, tomorrow, I think more videos, more images, more eyewitness testimony is going to surface. And who knows how that changes the perspective. But I think we're still in the beginning of the intel phase here. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. Yeah. The last people that we're going to trust in this process are going to be the FBI and the Secret Service. That's just the facts. I don't like that that's the case. But I mean, how can we not? distrust them. All right, let's go to, is it Nancy in Pennsylvania? Nancy in Pennsylvania, you were there. Go ahead.
Hi, Owen. Hey, love you. Listen to you all the time. I was at the rally. I just want to clarify. The rally was 7 miles from the 2020 rally because I attended the 2020 rally. It was on Halloween, and it was located at the Butler County Airport. And this one was 7 miles from that location. So the people that are reporting that it was the same, bad info. It was a totally different location. And we arrived, I was at the 2020, we had VIP tickets. And the layout, and I'm not talking about, obviously it was a totally different venue, but the layout was so strange because this time we could not get VIP tickets. So we were out in, you know, just regular people land, we had to stand. And it, from the minute we arrived and went through this security, and we went and found a position to stand, the logistics were horrible. Somehow we ended up behind, I think, where all the press people were. And we had absolutely no no sighting of the, we couldn't see the stage. And all you could see are the two jumbotrons. And they didn't even turn those on after Trump arrived for like 3 or 4 minutes. And all the people were screaming, turn on the screens. And personally, okay, so where I was standing, so I kind of was facing the stage. I couldn't see the stage. I had to watch it on the jumbotron. The shots came from the left. They were not loud. Initially, you heard pop, pop, pop. And we did think they were fireworks. So it was a processing thing for me. So my first thought was fireworks. And then all of a sudden, it just occurred to me this could be a mass shooting situation. And so everybody, we were standing, everybody in our vicinity fell to the ground. I will tell you, and then you heard the next volley, pop, 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 five. And then the last one was one shot, and I believe that was the sniper taking out the shooter. And I have no reason to believe there were two shooters. I saw no evidence, but it was very odd. After the shooting, and again, we could not eyewitness it because when it happened, we fell to the ground. We couldn't see.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nancy, I'm out of time for today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pick this back up tomorrow. We've got more people that were there that are trying to get on the air, but I'm out of time for today. I'll be live tonight at rumble.com/Owen and on my X account. I'll take more calls from people that were there. This conversation is not over, but we'll pick it back up right here on the InfoWars War Room in 21 hours. I'll see you then. Shop at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on air.
All right, folks, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself. ¶¶
receiving this transmission. You are the resistance.